welcome to VIP series number 5. And we have a special guest today after picking up nearly every trophy under the sun at the end of year awards and dressed exactly the same as he was as Kerry photoshopped him. And we have the amazing Rick Garza. How you doing, Rick?
I'm good, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So what I'd love to do is just get straight into it and really talk about your journey so far at SRG. And obviously, you know, you're on the sales side, you lead the QRC sales division. And really talking about, you know, we've had a year and a bit together now. And from where you were to where you are today, it'll be great to hear your story, what you've done and how you've done it, and a little bit about why you do it as well. Before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about you first, a little bit about your background, a little bit about where you're from, etc., so people can at least understand the man in the suit, who he is.
No, for sure. So I moved up to DFW in 2005 and joined a company that kind of focused more on engineering side of things within the staffing world, but I kind of gravitated towards the quality and validation side of things. So after 2 years of that, you know, kind of just went head dive into the QRC and life sciences side of things. So it's something I've always enjoyed doing, just the gratification of dealing with an industry that kind of helps people, right? So you get to see the devices that are being built that are going into people if it's, a surgery or implant or whatever. So also the drug side of things. So I guess a little bit about me myself. I mean, I played ball all the way through college, so I'm pretty competitive. For those that know me, just a little. And you know, it's one of those things that I think has just benefited me throughout my life, with especially in this job where, you know, you're going to have no being said to you all the time, but you have to just keep going and keep trying every door because one of them's going to open.
Love that. Thank you, Rick. You know, we've had a bit of a journey together for a year and a bit now. And I remember meeting you one-on-one when we did, like, I had about 50 questions for you when I first met you, asking you everything and anything. And I remember really well, you said, we talked about what the dream would look like in terms of, you know, how big can QRC be? You know, you were talking about 50 account managers across America, which is 10 times the size of where we are today. When we were talking about it, it was a very silo team. It was individual contributors, really no leadership, and you put your hand up, you wanted to lead, and you've led really well. And I think if you look in reflection over the last year, what's been the biggest lesson learned, so to speak, for you? What's been the biggest change, do you think?
I don't think there's really been any change. It's just staying patient and staying true to the basics of the job, right? Yeah. So knowing that it's going to happen, just not letting my competitive side get to where I get frustrated in the whole process.
How'd you do that? And how would you recommend others to do that?
just focusing on the controllables, right? Things that you can actually do yourself on a daily basis. So whether it's getting to go for a run, clearing your head and getting your mindset ready for the day, whether it's just getting up, watching the news, Sports Center, whatever, having your cup of coffee. But, again, making sure you're prepared, doing the research on what you want to dial into that day, what kind of focus you want to go into for that day and that week, and kind of just make sure you're planned and prepared, really, to be honest with you.
Love that. And if you look at your job is to go out. Well, what is your job? What is your role?
So I'm the director of client solutions within the QRC space of SRG. And my role is to kind of lead by example and get the team up and running to where, you know, we can all be contributing and get to where, you know, succession can take place. So we want to get everyone being successful for sure and billing to where they want. And we have some competitive people on the sales team as well. So they know how to do the job. It's just my job's to help give them guidance at this point.
Absolutely. So tell me about, how do you go about developing a client? Like, what's your go-to strategy?
I think one is to kind of develop a sense of trust and always follow up with them. I mean, that's probably the most simplest thing, is just following up, right? So if you say you're going to send an email, send that email. Do it right away. Don't wait till the end of the day because it'll probably slip your mind. If you say you're going to call them in a month, call them in a month. If you're going to call them next week, call them next week, right? So it's simple, but following up can help build that trust with the client. And then getting some buy-in from them, right? So kind of developing, and I'm old school, don't get me wrong. So I love to call people and I'm going to call people all the time because that's having those conversations is what builds that trust.
Yeah.
But you have to be accommodating to them to where you're kind of developing a call cadence of what do they prefer? And then you kind of meet them in the middle. Like they're not always going to want to talk to you every 4 to 6 weeks. They're going to say, yeah, call me once a quarter. But guess what? Things change week to week, right? Or month to month. So it's one of those things where you really want to make sure you develop that cadence and then following up with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of how it, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, that's kind of just in general how I develop a client, right? And then and then relying a little bit on the knowledge that I have of, you know, 16 plus years in the industry.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because I remember sitting in a boardroom and one of the MDs at the time, managing directors at the time, said the biggest difference with the top people versus the mediocre are the ones who follow up. It really is. You say something and you stand by it. You're going to follow through. And it's so crucial in this job when they probably hear from thousands of recruiters and they never hear their name again. So, you know, there's this kind of theory, and look, most stats are made up on the spot, but it's like off the on average, the fifth phone call is when a manager remembers you. It's like you have to do like the fifth phone call for someone to go, oh, yeah, Rick, I remember you. So let's talk about real specific, because people, you know, I think it's easier when people can visualize a real life example. Let's talk about the Excellead story, because it is such an incredible story. How did you go about developing that opportunity?
Mainly just staying engaged with the client, right? So
why did you, and actually, sorry, let me ask you, sorry, apologies for interrupting.
Yeah.
Talk about how you, because I think sometimes we feel like it's a needle in the haystack to identify the client, then to how to establish the right managers. And then, you know, it's like first identify, then quantity, you've got to do the numbers, then it's quality, who's the right person to speak to, and then continuously developing that relationship. So if you break it down in those four parts, why did you focus on Excellead? Or was it just part of the alphabet of going through clients and you're like, you want me?
No, in all honesty, Excellead is something where I was more in touch and stayed in touch with one of the hiring managers at another client. And we had success at a previous account. And then as they moved and changed roles, a similar situation came up where they needed a lot of consultants. And being that when we first started talking and I developed this relationship with this individual, you know, I was completely honest with him and I was transparent. You know, he asked me a very easy question. And it was one of those questions where you can make or break yourself with this particular client, right? So the question he asked me was, if I need an X amount of consultants, could you provide them? And that's where I had to be, you know, full transparency and honest with them and just said, look, I can do this amount successfully 100% by 2 weeks. However, the other back end of that, we would have to, you know, build our database up to it while we're placing and onboarding the first team. So just being honest with clients is kind of the main thing of where he appreciated that honesty, and it led to, you know, SRG getting exclusive on 15 roles at his new account.
Amazing. So if we break it down, it's, you know, you stayed in touch with a manager that you'd worked with before. So the credibility and reputation had already been built. And a lot of people here won't have had that. So if you were to reflect on when you're telling new people, what do you kind of advise them? How do you identify those hiring managers?
I mean, identifying hiring managers, obviously there's a qualification process of steps that we want to take when you're asking them and bringing them into your database, right? Yeah. So we want to make sure that they're philosophical users of consultants. So if it's someone where it's just a one-off and, you know, you have that conversation where, oh yeah, I've brought in one person over the last 5 years. Okay. Probably not going to be someone who's going to give you continued business.
Yeah.
But if it's someone where you have that open conversation of, you know, just digging questions of how many consultants do you typically use in a year? What types of projects do you bring consultants on for? Then you kind of just get to build at least your own idea of where we can help out, where the pain points might be later on.
Brilliant. Love it. Love it. And for those who don't know, when you broke into XLead, 15 contractors, our average margin across our business is around 1,300 a week. The placements here were nearly 3,000-4,000. And it's probably the highest that I've ever seen for a massive, for such a project. I've never seen those average margins. So you really are, you know, we're talking about differentiating yourself. That's true specialization. Being honest with the client. No, I maybe I'm a bit bullish. I'm saying we're going to fill all these jobs, whether there's 1,000. It just may take us a bit of time. So I think you said that. It's just you're doing it the right way. And, you know, the reason we have the top 100 is so that we can build our database of candidates so that when a client's hire, click of the finger, we can deliver. I think the one thing that I'm very proud of you, Tyati, and the team is a year ago, we didn't have that. And we didn't have that confidence. A year later, and you know, we spoke about this a year ago, and you were like,
yeah,
you know what would be my dream? Having people specialize in verticals. I go, let's make that dream happen. So I think you're creating a dream place to work because you're making the dream happen. And inadvertently, what happens naturally is everyone wins. Everyone makes money.
Exactly.
Everyone grows their career. Everyone's a lot happier. And we walk into a new year where I'm more confident about life sciences than I've ever been because of the market, because there'll be a shift, and there will be where are we going to see agencies invest? They're going to focus on the life sciences industry because we know it's pretty recession proof. So it's really about making sure that we just blueprint what you've done and continue to do that. So really, really, really well done. Now, how do you stay engaged with the client?
Honestly, just be relatable with the client.
You don't have to
talk about work every time. But one of the things you have to do is always bring it to work, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about how's, you know, traffic sucked getting to work today. Or if you work remote, talk about, I don't know, the house projects that you have to do or traffic taking the kids to school, anything and everything. Because at the end of the day, we're all people and everyone has a life outside of work. So everything's relatable to at least have a conversation where you can kind of find some common ground and they know that you're a person as well, not just talking about staffing all the time.
Yeah. How'd you get to that situation where, you know, I remember when I was 18 and I started recruiting, it was very hard to talk about, it was hard to do small talk. So how do you get people comfortable doing small talk? Is it that they check someone's LinkedIn? Do they do stalking on Facebook? You know, what is it? You know, what would you suggest?
I would hope not. That's a lot of investigating work to do right there. Yeah. No, just finding out. One, tell them about you, right? Tell them about your past, what you did. I always talk about just, you know, my sports background or the sports game that I watched on TV or, you know,
you
I say soccer. So talk about the FIFA World Cup going on right now where, you know, where England.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a great one. And it's funny because when I used to do lots of client meetings, I'd always ask people their why. Tell me about you and tell me about why you do your job. And they'll say, well, I just have a project. So I remember, why do you do it? Well, I want to be successful. And they love that because you're really caring about their purpose. So I love that. And I love the small talk. Sometimes people do feel uncomfortable. I talk to a lot of people who do networking at events and they really struggle with the confidence. So maybe just having a couple of things that you can talk about in the moment. Do you sometimes find clients are like, listen, I'm busy?
Absolutely. Everyone's busy. It's our job to try to uncover those pain points, right? By doing that, one of the things I always like to try to do is just give tidbits of information about what the market's doing. So we don't know what they're doing on a daily, like I can't tell you exactly what that, you know, person's doing on a daily basis, how they come about making that medical device and what they do with their engineering skill sets. But what I can tell you is that I'm the staffing expert and I can see the trends and where the market's going and what have been the pain points that we've seen. So I kind of maybe throw that information out there. Even if they say they have nothing for, you know, 6 months. Okay, so next call, I'm going to, you know, make a note to talk about what I'm seeing with their competitors. Because one of the things I like to do is when I network, I usually do my networking on either a process or a product, right? Yeah. So, because there's always going to be similarities and commonalities. So if one client's doing something over here, odds are they're going to be doing the exact same thing and wanting the exact same types of candidates. So,
yeah, I love that. Love that. So in terms of your approach, positioning SRG and the brand with clients, what do you tend to have as your approach?
Yeah, that was one of the struggles that when I first started was going to be difficult for me, is how do I get a new player on the block?
Yeah.
You know, some credibility in the market in general. So leveraging kind of what SRG in the UK has done with their STEM brand. Yeah. So number one staffing firm in the UK for STEM. I mean, that's, I kind of, that's a golden star right there. There's my selling point. Kind of just bring that into the discussion. And then also just discussing where we help out, like what is our niche, right? So discussing our capabilities and letting them know exactly what we do, right? And and not being afraid, because in time, as you have these conversations with clients, there's going to be areas where they're going to ask you to fill something that we don't do. So you can't be afraid to walk away from business when it's not our niche skill set, right? So just be honest.
And it's
with
the
them.
Hardest thing to do at the beginning, because you're like, wow, I'm struggling for jobs. So I'm doing
eyes get big. You're like, oh, there's an opening. There's an opportunity. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go forward. And you realize that you can't do it, right? Because where we're going to be successful and where we're going to be your true partner is in these skill sets, in these slots with quality, regulatory, validation, and engineering. So those are going to be the areas we can help with. And if it's something that's a tangent, don't get me wrong. If we've been successful with the other skill sets, I will definitely try, but it's about setting those realistic expectations, right? Well, look, this isn't a core skill set, so I'll help, but I don't want to give you, like, I don't want you to hold me to this, that I'm going to find you the perfect candidate. I was like, because we're kind of going on a tangent here. So just, you know, again, being honest with them.
I love that. I love that. A lot of what you're saying is about honesty and openness with your clients. And it's being saying, we will deliver you the best candidates in the market as we are, but football, soccer, that's what I'm the best at. Don't ask me to play tennis. Like, so yeah, I think it is one of those where it is tricky. We work with a lot of people who are very ambitious. We are all impatient. You know, I'm actually really good at poker because I play exactly how my mind doesn't want me to play, which is all in, go aggressive. Whereas actually you've got to be patient. You've got to take the time. You've got to wait for the right hands. And it's like recruitment. If you do all the right KPIs, if you go out and meet with the managers, eventually it will come through. And I think what you've been testament to is exactly that as an example. Now, I know you did a lot of placements last year, but there was some issues with that client. So it's been a year, and then, wow, you saw it all kick off. And I think you deserve so many plaudits for your persistence, your resilience, keeping at the job. And I know we all were in this together. I know that we supported you through that, but you supported the vision and the strategy. So I think you deserve so much like you should be really proud of what you've done. And now you're seeing the fruits of your labor, and I've seen your commission. So I know that you're benefiting massively from what you're doing. And this is why I say to people, it's, you can quickly turn from making 100K a year to 400-500K a year in like that. And that is the beauty about recruitment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just to add to that is, it's not me all doing that, right? The relationship on the client side, that's easy for me. I've been doing it for 16 years, so I can do that. The delivery side is something that you have to have that buy-in and that stream communication and openness with them. And our delivery team has just shined. You know, they've hit it out of the ballpark time and time again. And it's good to see. It's good to see that, you know, knowledge of what the skills are looking like. Because then, I mean, you can see better candidates coming in, and we're doing more of a proactive approach and actually reaching out to the market rather than just letting people come to us.
Love it. Love it. If there was one thing you would recommend to everyone in both, actually, I'm going to ask you two questions and then I'm going to finish off if there's anything you want to make a statement on. But first question is, anyone in client sales right now, what would be your biggest recommendation or piece of advice?
Be a staffing expert and know exactly what we can do. Explain everything within our capabilities that we can do, and that'll help you in the long run.
Love it. And then for those in recruitment right now, what would be your biggest hopeful takeaway for people to leave with?
For on the delivery side?
No, just in general. So for everyone who's starving right now, you know, we did the end of year review. We talked about, look, we're in a tough market. We've got to control the controllables. We've got to work hard. We've got to do what we need to do. But in your shoes, what would be the smartest thing that people need to take away today?
Continue to network and network strategically. So don't just go out there and say, oh, it's a contract manufacturer. Let's go get them. Find the contract manufacturers of where, and I say find them, look at the market, look at the industry news, yeah, and then find out who you want to tackle. Like, yeah, Catalent's been laying off a lot of people. Okay, well, guess what? Catalent still makes a lot of products and they're still going to hire people. So,
yeah,
so the more they lay off, they're probably going to cut too deep and need contract resources to help out in the short term. So kind of call, introduce yourself, and kind of be strategic in that sense.
I love it. I love it. Rick, any statements to make before we close off our VIP interview number 5?
No, I appreciate, you know, obviously SRG and Impellum staying with me and, you know, seeing that I do work my ass off to get to where we're at. But I think we're just getting started, and continued buy-in from everyone, especially within the QRC group. We're just scraping it right now, and we're not even beginning to drill. So it's going to be a fun ride.
You know, it's nice, man. Like, all the things you're saying, of course we'll support you. You worked so hard. You know, it was very tough because I know how much effort you put in to not see the rewards come through. But then, bam, it was worth it when we see what's happened. And you're right. You've got a great team. And I remember a year ago it wasn't. And you didn't have the delivery. You didn't have the confidence. And now you do. So it makes the world of difference when you can go out there and sell our capabilities. You know, you say, know your capabilities, but sell our capabilities and know that you can deliver. It's the world of difference. So again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you to everyone for listening. I know that I've had such great feedback because you're hearing from our people, the people who make this business really tick, on what they're doing and how they're doing it. And I hope, you know, I always say, like, if you can take 1% away from this, that 1% better, it will really change your life. And it can really change your life. That one phone call, you maybe have to make millions, but that one phone call can really change your life. And, you know, you say old school, it's humans who connect with people. You know, I always say you can't sell by email. Pick up the phone, speak to people, make it a relationship. So keep doing you. Train your people to do what you do, work with the team like you're doing, and keep being the person that I hoped you would become, because you're absolutely smashing it, Rick. Thank you so much again, and thank you for everyone listening.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny.